Whether you're looking for a Chevy car, truck, or SUV, go see my friends at Apple Chevy in Tinley Park. With over 500 new and used vehicles in stock, they have what you're looking for and at the lowest price possible. Go to applechevy.com. All right, it is the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. He's Richard Roper, and he's getting prepared now for some Roper reviewing right now.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. And, you know, just a quick recap, guys. We talked about Entourage a few days before it opened. Mm-hmm. It actually opened on Wednesday. And just to recap, it's dopey, so you don't have to worry about seeing that. I like the series a lot, but the movie is just kind of a rehash of the TV show. It's 90 minutes that just feels like you're watching three elongated episodes. If you're a huge fan of the show, you'd probably enjoy it, but it didn't really go anywhere. The movie's coming out this weekend. Let's talk first about Love and Mercy, guys, because you played the little clip of John Cusack on Good Morning America. And I really loved this film. I thought they did a brilliant job of capturing Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys, a young actor by the name of Paul Dano. You might remember him from There Will Be Blood and some other movies. He plays Brian Wilson as like a 22-year-old. When the Beach Boys were first hitting it, remember they always wore those like red and white striped shirts and mm-hmm. all the surf music and everything. And they do a great job of showing, you know, the beginnings of him kind of starting to unravel and have panic attacks. Because early on, you know, he wouldn't go on tour anymore with the Beach Boys. They had this, wow. this giant tour. And while they were on tour, he would be in a studio with 28 musicians working on what became Pet Sounds. And the movie does a brilliant job of showing the creative process in the studio when Brian Wilson was composing and arranging songs like God Only Knows and Good Vibrations. Then it fast forwards 20 years ahead, where John Cusack plays Brian Wilson in the 80s, who's a guy like now at this point in his late 40s and is completely under the control of Dr. Eugene Landy, the controversial therapist who is played by Paul Giamatti in the movie, who's great. Oh. So they jump back and forth, and Paul Dano kind of looks like Brian Wilson with the kind of round face and the kind of the mannerisms. John Cusack goes an entirely different direction, doesn't try to look at like him at all, but really kind of captures his essence. And both performances are really good. And the music is amazing. They obviously have the rights to the real Beach Boys music. So if you're any kind of a fan of the Beach Boys or just the creative process, go check out Love and Mercy.
Now, yeah, because actually Pet Sounds, there's a lot of people that, critics and obviously fans, but people in the music industry will tell you that Pet Sounds is one of the most beautifully produced albums of all times. And it is because of all the different studio tricks they used. And,
right.
And it was there. It was Brian Wilson's response to what George Martin was doing with the Beatles.
That's absolutely correct. And then he took it to such a level. And famously, Paul McCartney has said he believes God Only Knows is the greatest song ever written and recorded because it's just so complex. And the it's like just kind of all these countermeasures and all this stuff. And he literally had, in addition to like, you know, bass and drums and guitar and brass, he had at one point a dog jumping up and down and barking. He had like all this stuff that he would just throw in there. And then it's rare that these musical biopics really delve into the creative process. They just show them on stage and then they, you know, in different wigs, and then they move on to the next era.
It's interesting. Cusack has done this on more than one occasion when he's going to play somebody, a historical figure. He did this with Richard Nixon, right?
Yeah, Butler.
The Butler, he plays Richard Nixon, and he doesn't even
attempt exactly
to look
like the guy from Say Anything grew up and is somehow in the White House.
Right.
You know? It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, but he and it was weird. And I thought that performance was strange because he didn't attempt to do, you know, because Nixon is a parody, right? But Nixon was a parody of himself.
He doesn't even
try to go there. He tries to be just a totally, you know, his interpretation. It's like when you go to those fancy restaurants and go, this is our interpretation of a hot dog.
Yeah.
And it's tofu and kale and something, you know, and it's like, no, it's not a hot dog at all. That's exactly what he did. But I don't know. You know, you can't take it away from him. He's one of America's
It works here, but you're right. In The Butler, he was just like, you know, I'm Richard Nixon and I'm the president. Gosh darn it, you'll do what I want. You're my butler. And I was
right.
like, you're not trying? You know, like,
so true. All right, so you like this movie a lot.
Yeah, I really like this movie a lot. I think it's just beautifully done. And then we have Spy.
And they use all the music, right?
Yeah, they really do. Yeah, which is really cool, you know, to hear the finished product. And I think it's one of those things where the actors kind of sing along with it and they kind of meld their voices, but you're also hearing the actual Beach Boys as well, and it's just it just makes you want to go home. And if you don't have their songs, download, especially mm-hmm. the Good Vibrations and the songs like that. You know, the later ones that were so complex and rich, because you see the process and you're like, amazing. I mean, he really was. You know, and he is remains a real creative genius.
All right, so on to Melissa McCarthy.
Yes, we have Spy. Now, this is Melissa McCarthy with Paul Feig, and she did Bridesmaids with him and also Heat, which were both very funny. This is funny as well. I'm recommending this one, but it's kind of like a 3 stars, like B. It's good. It's too long. It's nearly 2 hours long. It's essentially just a spoof of like the Bond-type movie. She plays a CIA analyst who's been just working the computers like in the basement her whole career, but then suddenly gets thrust into the field, and hilarity and gross-out humor and foul mouth madness ensues. We got a little clip here real fast, Ro.
How the f*** did this find out our f- names?
We don't know, and dial it way back with the T word for it. You're not immune from the HR department.
Grow up. And t- means something completely different in England.
Well, here it means a vagina.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there, but Melissa McCarthy's also in this movie.
She's always funny.
That's the finest clip ever. That should have been on the top five at five. We can do that tomorrow. So Richard Roper was introducing a movie starring Melissa McCarthy, and we played a Jason Statham clip in which every word was knocked out. Jason Statham, though, who's one of the best action stars in the world, right, and always plays the baddest guy in the room, and it's really funny in this movie because he plays a government operative who's just a complete bungling fool, but keeps telling stories about how he's the baddest guy ever and he's endured everything. So he's always saying stories like, you know, oh, I had my entire left arm ripped off and then I put it back on with my right arm and then I went to work that day. And he just keeps, his stories get increasingly exaggerated. He's like, I impersonated Obama at congressional hearings and everyone believed it was him. McCarthy's like, I don't think that's a thing that happened.
Have we seen Jason Statham do comedy before? I'm trying to
no,
think if
and
I've
that's
ever,
what's kind of neat about this. And Melissa
like
McCarthy
that.
Is just flat out funny. She's, you know, she can do physical comedy. She can do shtick. She's got some great one-liners. You got the sense that this is one of those movies where they just kept the cameras rolling and said, all right, let's just ad lib another line
make
here.
Make stuff happen.
It's 2 hours and it should be an hour and a half. It's too long. It kind of, you know, the joke gets old after a while, but it's still real funny. This kind of movie, it's like you don't need to rush out to see it. If you're on a flight and it was on the plane, definitely plug in the headphones. You'll get some laughs out of it.
I love her.
It's an interesting way of looking at it, because that is one of the three ways that you can take in a movie now. It's actually one of the only two ways I can take a movie in. Right. I can watch a movie a year and a half after it's come out on Netflix or Apple TV or something like that. Or I can see it on an airplane. And what happens on the airplane is I'm watching it. I miss the first 10 minutes of dialogue because I decide I'm not going to invest in it. Right. And then my eyes keep going to it. And then I'm plugging in. And I've already missed sort of the setup. So I just got
You're fun. You're a lot of fun.
Yeah, right.
Another Bloody Mary, please.
You're the airplane equivalent of these people who come walking in 15 minutes into the movie with the tubs of popcorn the size of R2-D2. And I'm like, because that's what you needed to have before they bang into your seat as they're finding their way. To their own seat. That's always fun. Yeah, Ro's a lot of fun because just like last week, he was like, "Boy, that Hurt Locker was good. Now, did that win any awards?
I know,
what
he does
was that?
He's
How did that
up.
Do?
He's catching up.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, no, that Avatar was that a hit?
I love that North by Northwest. Well,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. I actually was on a plane today. I had a kind of a funny incident. I was on the jetway. I had a gigantic cup of your Starbucks coffee.
Mm-hmm. Oxygen mask in place.
Right. I was already wearing my oxygen mask, right? And my water wings.
He doesn't wait for it to fall from the overhead compartment. He just puts it on just in case.
Preventative measures.
My water wings. Mm-hmm.
Right. I've got water wings, and I'm actually holding a seat bottom as a flotation device as I walk onto the plane. And the thing with Starbucks coffee cups, you know, if they overfill the coffee cup, it starts leaking out of the side, and you get that drip, 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 drip. And I was, you know, it was an early morning flight, and I'm going to land in New York, and I'm going to go immediately to meetings, and I wanted to look, and everybody else on these early morning flights to New York all look like really professional people. You know, there's, bankers and lawyers and you know, everybody's dressed like or better than Mike Monaco, if you could have possibly imagined that. And then there's me. I'm just, I'm just a goof in jeans and a blazer. And I take the, you know, and you're standing in line at the jetway, is, you know, the, I don't know, the somebody's having trouble getting their bag up, so there's a big backup. Mm-hmm. So I take the top off, and I'm trying to shake out the coffee a little bit, and I put the top back on, and the whole thing starts to spill on me.
Oh, no.
And it was super hot.
Ah.
So I, what do? Of course, I scream like a girl.
Eek.
That's the first, right, except the first thing that I do. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like that. And they, and I get into the jet at that point. I was able to kind of secure the thing. And I get to my seat and I say to the flight attendant, I go, do you have any ice here? Because it was like all over it. It hurt like
on your legs or?
On my hands. Oh. It was on my hands. So she goes, and then I my guess was that the flight attendant may have known of my professional career or my personality, because it was an immediate eye roll, like, oh, God.
Here we go.
I could have seen this from a million miles, from 40,000 feet. So she comes back with the ice, and then she comes back, you know, right before the plane's about to take off. How's your hand, pal? and now to this very moment, I think I'm peeling.
Oh, no. You have hand burns.
I have hand burn. I don't know what I'm gonna do about it. I was in, and I'm absolutely certain that I could sue Starbucks for this. Can I?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Hmm.
No.
Yeah, no.
Kind of know
there.
Your coffee's
you'll be on,
hot,
all of a sudden,
right?
You'll be on Nancy Grace. Does he have a penis? Does Rokon have one?
Rokon does not. Now he has a lawsuit against Starbucks because he got on the airplane. He's also gonna sue United Airlines for this, for not having ice that is cold enough.
They were very nice, though. I just want to say that they were very nice in putting up with me. And at one point, I think the air marshal pulled out his taser when I started complaining.
And reveal himself to the rest of the flight. And, and the flight attendant's like, you know, we have a wagon, too. We just don't have a little cutesy nickname for it, okay?
Anybody mind if I tase this guy? And then the entire...
Just on general principle.
Right. Everybody starts to applaud on the plane. It was really, it was quite a moment.
It's a poor thing, though. Now your hands hurt.
Yeah, it was funny. But just a little something. I guess the moral of the story here for all of humanity is if you can't put the coffee down on something, don't try this. Don't try to and everybody's gone through this where you got the leaky lid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you try to get the thing out of the ellipse, and just don't do that while you're holding it.
Or you try to put it in the netting on the back of the seat in front of you, and it's like it squishes it, and then it, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No.
I've
no,
done
that would
before.
Be bad. And then it's all over your feet. And I was wearing open toe shoes.
Oh, gosh.
I'm thinking the barista didn't care for the cut of rose jib. I think that's what it started off with.
Well, those are not even
I'm going to fill this all the way up.
At O'Hare, all the baristas are like from another country.
Oh, yeah. They're actually, right? They're also the cleaning crew.
Right.
That is true.
That's true.
It's very different at the Starbucks. It's like, hold on one second. I'm like, what do you get that? You get the whole buffing machine out there. And they're like 70, right?
I have like a grande red eye. I'm getting what? And it's like a grande red eye, please.
Yeah.
A red eye? A what? A what?
You have another $7 coffee for a stupid American. Instead of like yelling your name out. It's like, oh, I didn't need that.
Yeah.
What?